ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chanto 6, Chapter 18, Text 7, and we'll chant Text 8. So Text 7 doesn't have a purport. Paulomyamindra adatta trin putraniti nashrutam jayantam rishabham tat tritiyam midusham prabhu. O King Parikshit, Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, and 11 son of Aditi, we got three sons named Jayanta, Rishabha and Midusha in the womb of his wife, Paulomi. Thus we have heard. Text 8. Please repeat. Urukramasya devasya. Urukramasya devasya. Maya vaman rupina. मायावामनरूपिणा कीर्तौ पत्न्यां बृहच्छ्लोकस् कीर्तौ पत्न्यां बृहच्छ्लोकस् तस्या संसौभगादयः उरुक्रमस्य देवस्य। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. By His own potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has multifarious potencies, appeared in the form of a dwarf as Urukrama, the 12th son of Aditi. In the womb of his wife, whose name was Kirti, he begot one son named Brihatshloka, who had many sons headed by Saubhaga. Purport. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 6, Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan prakritim swamadishthaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates, he doesn't need any help from the external energy, for he appears as he is by his own potency. The spiritual potency is also called Maya. It is said, Ato Maya Mayam Vishnum Pravadanti Manishinaha. The body accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Maya Maya. This does not mean that he is formed of the external energy. This Maya refers to his internal potency. The chapter Diti vows to kill King Indra. This is Canto 6. Prabhupada's BBT publishers gave it the name Prescribed Duties for Liberated Beings, or Prescribed Duties for those who are aspiring for liberation. As the conversation proceeded from understanding how Chitraketu became Vritrasur, Shukdev Goswami began the narration of the various progeny of Diti and Aditi. Aditi's sons are called demigods, Adityas. Diti's sons are called the Daityas. For example, we have Prahlad Maharaj addressing his friends, Sukham Indriyakam Daitya. Or there is Danu, one lady called Danu, and her sons are called the Danavas. So although the names of beings who are opposed to the worship of Krishna, they are generally called as Danavas, Daityas, Asuras, Rakshasas, but they also have their own specific connotation. A Rakshas is one who eats somebody's flesh. Asura is one who is not a Sura, one who is opposed to Suras. Danu is a follower, is a descendant of Danava, is a descendant of Danu. Daitya is a descendant of Diti. Prabhupada preferred the word demon throughout his purports. Of course, the classic English meaning of the word demon is some kind of person having extraordinary powers. In one of our Marathi books, we had requested a sample translation from a very respected professor. So in the beginning of this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, there are demoniac scholars who deride the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who don't agree that there is someone called the Personality of Godhead. So this lady must be confused that how can somebody be a scholar and how can he be demoniac? So, consulting her traditional dictionary, she came up with a word in Marathi, Ati Manavi Vidwan. That means those who are having superhuman powers. This thought could not touch her mind that someone who is a scholar can be called demoniac. Like in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, demons are fond of eating flesh. Those who are demons, they eat. They take cow's blood in the form of flesh. Those who are demigods, they take cow's blood in the form of cow's milk. So it's the same thing basically, but it's just a matter of preference. But that makes a whole lot of difference. So Diti, she's a wife of Kashyapa, and Aditi also is a wife of Kashyapa. There is one sage who's a Prajapati, and one of his wives, she vows to kill King Indra. At least we can find that in those times when someone wants someone dead, they start some vrata, they start some anushthan, some Vedic ritual. So Diti, although she wants to kill the king of the demigods, she doesn't want it to appear as if she just told somebody, please go and kill him, I'll pay you some money. No, it's not like that. She satisfies her husband. She knows her husband is very powerful. And generally, in very cultured societies, if somebody is happy, they would say, what can I do for you? Can I do a favor? So this husband of hers says, oh, your service is very satisfying. Tell me, what can I do? And then she brings out the topic. I want someone who can kill King Indra. And then of course, Kashyapa goes into lamentation as to what I have done. This woman has completely captured my attention and now she has brought me, she's put me in a spot. Now I can't do that. However wrong Indra may be, I just cannot wish him dead. He does some kind of service. He is very powerful. So what does he do how to avert this calamity. So he tells his wife that, well, yes, there is a way out. You want him killed? I will suggest to you one particular ritual, one vrata, but you have to do it very carefully. One small mistake here and there, and you won't get your desired result. Now she is so angry with Indra. Why? Because Indra wanted to protect himself, so he prayed to Vishnu, and Vishnu killed Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu. So Diti is angry that he has, with the help of Lord Vishnu, killed these two big demons. So obviously, Kashyap Muni knows that this is not a quarrel between husband and wife over dead sons. What we are discussing is going to affect the whole universe. So if you read the whole thing, the whole chapter, you can understand that it was such an impossible looking ritual. Don't go without your head covered. Don't take this kind of flower in the evening. Don't take this kind of flower in the morning. And do not eat with your eyes closed, or do not eat when there is dusk. Do not eat at this time. Eat only at this time. Wear only white cloth. The conditions themselves would deter someone from pursuing that ritual. And the very first condition which he put was, do not have violent thoughts about any living being. Now, how is it possible? And she said, yes, I agree. The whole thing was meant to kill the king. And the very first condition was, do not harbor violence. Do not think ill of any living entity. Otherwise, the whole ritual will be foiled. And she said, yes. Of course, then, once she was eating and her hands were not clean, and something happened, she fell asleep. It was not the proper time. And Indra entered her womb. And he saw there is an embryo dazzling like fire. And he feels, hey, this must be the one who is supposed to take birth and kill me. So he just slashes him into 7 pieces. And he finds these 7 pieces are still very effulgent. So he makes them into 7 more pieces of every piece which he has made. So now there are 49. And they all start crying. Please don't kill us. We are your brother. We are your brothers. And he says, how can you be my brothers? So Indra comes out and begs forgiveness from Mother Diti, saying that I am so sorry. I get caught up in all this management stuff and I become very disturbed. The cosmic management is not an easy thing. And how come these personalities who are in your womb, how did they say that they are friendly to me, they are my brother? They consider me their brother. So finally, Kashyapa explains to his wife, and by that time, by following so many difficult conditions of that vrata, her mind also is pacified, and she says, oh, nee, forget it. I wanted someone to kill him, but now instead of being an enemy of Indra, my sons have become friends of Indra, or they are followers of Indra, Krishna's arrangement. And the whole thing is forgotten. So therefore, it's not that revenge or vengeance can be satisfied when you actually get the desired result of what you wanted in the beginning. Material life is so complicated that even after getting what you want, you find that there is still something remaining. So therefore, through these episodes, the Srimad Bhagavatam tries to educate us that the best course is to leave everything in the hands of the Lord and to follow His guidance. So in today's purport, very simply it is put, who were the great kings born from other great personalities. But especially in this verse 8, number 8, it says, Urukramasya Devasya Maya Vamana Rupinaha. Shukadeva Goswami could have just said, Urukramasya Devasya Vamana Rupina. Why did he use the word Maya? Prabhupada puts a gloss over this word, and that's what we'll discuss today. Atma Mayaya, this verse quoted in the purport, Ajopi San Avyayatma, Bhutanam Ishwaropi San, Prakritim Swamadishthaya, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. This is the first time the word Maya comes in the Bhagavad Gita. Later it comes in the 7th chapter. Daivi Yesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. When Prabhupada began lecturing in America, he did not, at least you can get that feeling in the 66-67 lectures, he did not purposefully bring the specter of Maya in each and every class, that you are all in Maya. You, all of you, you are all in Maya. Complete Maya. Because they were so much in Maya that just to tell them you are in Maya won't help them. For example, an unconscious patient, the doctor tells him, you are completely unconscious. You are almost dead. Well, that's a very intelligent statement. The doctor has used his intelligence and he has sort of understood what is the situation of the patient. But it's of no use. You tell the patient that you are unconscious or you could become unconscious when he's conscious. You bring him back to consciousness, some kind of awareness. And then you tell them that if you do this, you'll again slip back into coma. If you do that, there's a danger, you can again slip back. So therefore, even Prabhupada's way of presenting Krishna consciousness was the way it is described in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Unless you give a higher taste, a person is not able to, he may be willing, but is not able to give up the lower taste. Param drishtva, that's the most important thing. You have to see, you have to realize, you have to taste the superior taste. Param drishtva. One devotee had remarked that if you read the Bhagavad Gita word for word, you will find that sometimes even the word for word acts like a purport. This particular verse is like that. Atma Maya is translated by, is put, the word for word says, by my internal potency. Now what does it mean? What exactly is Maya? Later, much later, Prabhupada began unraveling, sort of unpacking, what exactly does Maya mean. The basic understanding of the word has just two components. Ma means not, and Ya means this. Now you say, this, not, what does it mean? Doesn't exist, or not this? So therefore, Maya has so many connotations. The simplest understanding is when somebody sees a mirage, mrgajal. You see in a desert, we normally don't go in deserts, right? We in Bombay city, how do we know? But yes, there is a provision for that too. On any hot summer day, if you're traveling on the road and if you're in a vehicle, just see in front of you on a highway, you'll find that just near the horizon, the road appears to be shimmering. There is like something like water. In fact, when we had gone for an advance party to Ayodhya, almost 3-4 times I thought, looks like it rained here. And then I thought, well, it's no rain, it was just plain road. So, this kind of appearance of water on land, this is the simple explanation. Ma, that is not water, this is not. And then the whole thing opens about, what about this world? Is this world Maya? This world doesn't exist? So Prabhupada says, well, our understanding is that not that it doesn't exist. It does exist. It's not completely an illusion. But there's a way of understanding it. Dinabandhu Prabhu, our resident Brajavasi from America, he was a seeker. He was experimenting with so many different philosophies and music and singing and Buddhism and this and that. And the very first thing you hear in today's times, almost nobody except the Hare Krishna movement is willing to call this world real. Apart from the gross sense enjoyers, of course, they insist it's all real. But anyone has to do anything with philosophy, the very first popular notion is, it's all an illusion. And Prabhupada remarks in one purport, and they are very expert at enjoying this illusion. It's not that because it's an illusion, let's give it up. So this group of hippies, as they were called at that time, they were caught by the police in some minor infringement. They did something or they had something on their person and they were caught. And they were put in a jail. And the jail was like, you put someone for 2-3 days or 1 day, 24 hours, like that. It was more like a steel box with a door on it, like a rat cage, mouse trap, something like that. One for one person. So he was pushed inside, bang, the door slammed, it was locked, and they said, now, for 24 hours, you'll have no contact with anyone. So he sat in that cage. It was good enough for one person to sit. About 6 inches above was the top, and it was all metal. So he said, well, I am just now learning so much meditation, so I'll just practice that. And he started practicing some kind of meditation that it's all a matter of consciousness. You think you are, if you think you are not, you are not. And this whole thing is an illusion. So he said, yes, it's all an illusion. I'm not in jail. Nobody has caught me. So he put his hand up. Tong! Oh, it hurts. I'm not in jail. Then why it hurts then? If I am not, if everything depends on just your awareness, if you call something an illusion, it's an illusion, then why this thing is hurting me? And he said, if this jail is an illusion, can I walk out of it? No, there is no choice for me. So after 2-3 hours of excruciatingly painful meditation, he came to the conclusion that this prison is real. It's all real. Pain is real. I am bound. I cannot fake it that everything is up to you. If you think you are, if you think you are not, you are not. He says all the months of meditation just evaporated by just one small experience. Like a beggar cannot just say, no, I am rich, you are rich, we are both equal. No, by just thinking you don't become that. So what exactly do we mean when we say this is Maya? Shripa Shankaracharya, he made this word famous more than anybody else by just saying Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. This Jagat, including all its, like in mathematics you have a set and you have subsets. So your family problems, boss problems, business problem, husband problem, wife problem, progeny problem, health problem, wealth problem, everything, they are all subsets of this Jagat. So Shankaracharya's mathematical equation was, this whole Jagat is Mithya. So if it's all Mithya, then, so this small thing is Mithya, this is Mithya, everything is Mithya. Like you go to the ocean and you take this water, all salty. Okay, just from the other side, salty. From the bottom, salty. From this side, salty. Take from any side, any amount, anything, it's all salty. So how can someone go to a big pracharak, a big acharya like Shankaracharya and say that, I can join your mission but I have some problems. He says, rascal, what problems? This whole thing is mithya. So people are thinking, well, makes sense. And many Buddhists at that time, many top-notch debaters, they joined him. And of course, one day, now this is like Kim Vadanti, someone said, it's not found in any Shastra as such, but this thing must have happened, that Shankaracharya was going on the road one day, and someone suddenly said, hey, it's a wild elephant and it's loose, run. And he found really a wild elephant just coming, running, helter-skelter. So immediately he jumped up a tree, climbed to the topmost branch. And the elephant left, and he came down. And some common man, passerby, must have asked that, Acharya, you say everything is illusion, right? So this elephant also must have been illusion. And how come suddenly you ran up the tree, tried to save yourself? So he says, Palayanam Mithya. The thing that I ran up the tree is also false. It's also illusion. Why do you think that also was true? The elephant was false. The fact that the statement that he was running towards us was false. There was some danger to me that is false. And I ran up, that also is false. Very convenient way, right? So this kind of philosophy is good after a heavy stomach. But for those who are hankering for something substantial, it won't satisfy. Shankaracharya had a specific aim in calling this world mithya. Because it's not. The origin of this world is not false. The origin is in truth. So Shankaracharya had some things. He achieved his agenda, whatever he wanted. And diametrically opposite was Madhvacharya's stance. So Shripad Madhvacharya's statements, the first thing is this world is real. So naturally, today people have doubts that how come big acharyas have their own personal views and how do we understand? No, it's not a question of a personal view. They just did something which is a task given to them by the Supreme Lord. So, before this fourth chapter, in the second chapter, Krishna has already told Arjun that, Arjun, you are a spirit soul, dehi, one who stays in a deha, like an apartment and a tenant, one who stays in the apartment. So Arjun might have argued that, what's so great, ajopi, Krishna, you're telling you are aja, unborn. I'm also unborn. Avyajatma. I never deteriorate. You just told that, na jayate mriyate va. I'm also never deteriorating. But then Krishna adds, bhutanam ishvara. That's the difference. Although, the Lord and the living entities, both are aja. Both are having non-deteriorating bodies in the spiritual form, still Krishna remains the Ishwar, the controller. Like the president and the chauffeur, they are in the same vehicle. That doesn't mean they are same. Is it? The chauffeur says, we drive in the same vehicle, you know. True, but you are the driver. And the person sitting at the back is the president. When there's a problem, they ask him, not you. Just because the peon and the chief executive officer, they serve on the same floor of the office, doesn't mean they get the same salary. Doesn't mean they get the same perks. They think they have the same powers. So therefore, just because the living entity and the Supreme Lord have so many things in common, doesn't make the living entity as good as God. So that's a basic wrong conception. So Maya is not just illusion. Maya also means energy. Maya also means mercy. There are so many ways of understanding this one simple word. Now, who comes under Maya? Or who is susceptible? Maya brings forth duality. Duality means two. In this world, there is happiness and there is distress somewhere. There is birth, there is opposite of birth, death. Simply put, in this world, if you see one, if you are experiencing one kind of situation, you should be sure that the opposite situation exists somewhere. If you find people are happy, very happy, people are sad somewhere. If you are happy today, you will be sad sometime. If you are sad today, you will be happy sometime. If you are born today, you will be dead sometime. If you are dying today, you will be born sometime. Everything has its opposite nature. And the opposite is sometimes having similar things. Like birth is miserable, death also is miserable. Although birth and death are opposites. Like the one who is taking birth, he never comes laughing, is he? Has anyone come smiling broadly in this world? Then, daughter, how are you? Fine. No. Everybody else may be smiling, but that poor guy is crying like anything. Similarly, you don't find materialistic people living this world smiling. No. And between there is old age, which also no smiling, laughing matter. And there is some disease. So the minor gaps in between these four events is when people smile or put on a smile or whatever. Otherwise, it's all the same. Similarly, in the spiritual realm, there could be something like opposite, meeting and separation. But the basis is all bliss. That's the only difference. So meeting Krishna and getting separated from Krishna, it's not like meeting Krishna is good and being separated from Krishna is bad. It may appear like that. But the substance is pure bliss. So Narottama Das Thakur says that if devotees don't like separation from the Lord, or that separation from the Lord could be a substantial fact, then Hanumanji won't be doing parayanas of Ramayana. Hanumanji asked permission from Lord Ram that you are leaving and you are telling that I should stay back in this world. What am I going to do? He said, those who are my devotees, you should help them. He said, yes, I will surely. But how will I sustain myself? He said, you read this Ramayana. Now, if Hanumanji, there is no other greater servitor of Lord Ram than Hanuman, why is he continuously reading Ramayana? If the only concept of, the only main substance of the Ramayana, Ram Katha, is Ram experiencing separation from Mother Sita. Would he like to do that, hear that again and again? If you ask someone, please tell me about your accident, how it happened. You say, oh, forget it, I don't want to remember it again. So even if by accident somebody triggers off a memory which we don't want to forget, we say, oh, I don't talk about that. That's an everyday experience. We don't like to talk about it. But when Hanumanji is presented with Ram Katha, he doesn't say that, oh, this is the story where my Lord was separated, don't talk about it. He gets more and more nectar from it. So there is some difference. And we are going to see what that difference is. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada began the he began the narration of how Maya acts by describing two, we can say, functions of this Maya. By Maya, now we are talking of the material aspect. First one is called Avaranatmika, covering. Avaran is covering. And second is Prakshepatmika. Prakshepatmika is more like propelling. Like a rocket is called in Sanskrit Prakshepanastra. Prakshepan, it goes with velocity. So what is Avaran? You cover someone. Like typically we read in novels or in other situations where somebody is kidnapped. They put a blanket on someone or they put a covering. Now obviously somebody is in a blanket, somebody is in a covering or a sack. He can't see anything. So Maya, the first thing she does is, she covers our intelligence, our senses, our everything. There is no way we can get real knowledge. And then gives us a big deflecting blow. And that person is just tossed away. Like in tennis or in table tennis, one opponent tries to give a top spin, another just deflects it. So it's gone. Or in cricket, the bowler tries his hard with his strength to throw the ball. But intelligent batsmen, they just deflect it. They use the same strength which the bowler has put in it. They don't use their own. And the ball goes over the boundary. So similarly, Prabhupada gave a very funny experience. Someone says, I should go to the temple. Today I feel like hearing some satsang. So he gets up in the morning and comes out of his house. And as he's about to come for the Sunday program, he sees a big sign. Sale, 50% off. And he says, hey, only today. He says, Sunday fees will remain all Sundays. And temple is not going to be closed. But this offer is only for today. So what am I supposed to do? So this urge to buy something at 50% off, maybe clothes or footwear or whatever, it covers your intelligence, your desire to do something or whatever. That's everyday Maya in action for all of us. So you're taking a straight road to the temple and suddenly you take a left turn. And that's what you're deflected. There is avaran, there is an attraction, and there is deflection. You're out. So this happens all the time. At least it must have happened the first time when somebody is thrown away from the spiritual realm to the material realm in the same way. So this Maya is ignorance. It has knowledge in it. It's not like you see that many times people ask that, you know, big professors, you mean to say scientists, they're all in Maya? Haigriva Prabhu, he had visited India before Prabhupada. Before he only met Prabhupada, he had visited India. He was an English reader, so he would bring up Walt Whitman, Shakespeare, or even some other lesser known poets, James Berry, or Indian music, Indian painting. And at one point of time, Prabhupada wanted to establish what exactly he meant by Krishna consciousness. So anyone, any revered personality these hippies would bring up, of course, he was a lecturer also at the same time. So he would say, what about him? Maya. What about this thing? Maya. They bought some paintings from India. What about this? Maya. What about this famous sitar player? The whole world recognizes him. Prabhupada says, Maya. They were saying, this Swamiji is not pleased by anything. Whatever we bring forth, he's just calling it Maya. So Prabhupada, slowly but surely, was establishing what exactly do you mean by pure Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, to bewilder animals is no big deal. Animals are they're already bewildered to some extent. Like if you take a biscuit in front of a dog and then put like, dog will say, look, where happened? He won't say, I saw it at the back. No, he doesn't have that intelligence. They have some other intelligence in some other thing, but otherwise you can easily bewilder them. So human beings can be bewildered very easily by this Maya. In fact, in Krishna Leela, up to Lord Balaram, up to Brahmadev, Brahmaji himself, when he decides to show Krishna his own potency, he kidnaps Krishna's coward boys, puts them in a cave, and he says, let us see what Krishna does. And he comes back to find that there is already Krishna with his friends and calves and everything. So he says, what happened to those which I kidnapped? So he went back, they were still sleeping. And he came back, and Krishna is still with his friends. So he went back, and they were still sleeping. This one small thing, and Brahma became completely bewildered. Now Brahma has four heads, our Brahma. And he's a supreme most intelligent person. So he says, Tamyam tamovan naiharam khadyot archi ivahani mahatitar maye sham nihantyatmani munchataha. Nihantyatmani yunchataha. Tamyam is night. Tamovan. In the night, there is a glowworm, khadyota archi. The glowworm has something behind him and that's glowing. And you look like, oh, see, I saw a glowworm. What happens in the daytime? Even if some lands on your nose, you won't be able to see him. Because there is no light. So Brahma says that this light of mine, my mystic power, is like this glowworm's mystic power, this glowworm's light compared to the sun. What value it has. So Krishna's bewildering potency can bewilder someone like Brahma. Much later, when these calves and these boys, when Balaramji saw them, he says, Keyam va kuta ayata daivi va nari utasuri praye mayastu me bhartur nanya me api vimohini. This certainly must be me bhartur, my master's maya. So this Maya can even put Balaram. Now Balaram, that day we heard, is Krishna himself. Can Krishna be attracted by his own form? There are so many people who are attracted to their forms when they see in the mirror. Mirror, mirror in the wall, on the wall. Who is the fairest them of all? Many people like to see themselves in the mirror. But after a few years, they don't like to see anything in the mirror. They don't like to see what the mirror shows. Once Krishna saw his own form reflected on a jeweled surface, and he said, who is this supremely attractive person? Now just see. So is there a chance that Maya can bewilder Krishna? Like sometimes we have this small hope against hope that once at least Maya should show Krishna that she can bewilder him. It doesn't happen like that. In fact, she, vilajjamanaya, she is ashamed to even come in front of him. So therefore, Maya doesn't just mean only illusion. It also means mercy. Those who are not inclined towards serving Krishna, they are put in a state where they feel that I can be the enjoyer myself. There is no harm. I can do that. Like for example, if a person who is a servant of the king, and the king is not sitting on his throne, the king is in his bed, can he go and sit for himself to see how it feels to be in the king's throne? He knows, if the king sees me, my head will be chopped off. He has to have this illusion that there is, the king is not in the palace today. Once he knows there is no king today, then he can go and sit and see how comfortable the royal throne looks like. So therefore, unless we are put in a state where we have this kind of conviction that there is no Krishna here, there is no God, we cannot agree to play the game of being enjoyers ourselves. So that is a mercy. That's a form of kripa which Krishna does. So therefore, this world is a place where Maya keeps under that illusion. But who orders that illusion? We. Now our order is like a person going to a hotel and ordering something. A restaurant. I want this. If the proprietor says finished, he says, no, I ordered it. So it's finished. So you can't order unless the person provides it. So in one way, it is the living entities who want to boss it over, lord it over material energy. They are the ones who are the cause of this creation. So their order is like the order of a patron, order of a customer. I want that. And then the boss, the owner, he provides it. So because we want to boss it over material energy, Krishna provides the ingredients. Does Maya envelop the intelligence of pure devotees? Yes. You may say, why is that? There is a need. Those who are pure devotees, their attraction to Krishna, there is some taste involved. His Grace Rabindra Swarup Prabhu once informed that in Vaikuntha, you can compare Vaikuntha to a place where there is a dial. You put the dial towards the left and there is so much of Aishwarya. So we have people worshipping Lord Vishnu as, oh, you are the greatest. Your Pitambar Vastra is dazzling. Even the toenails are more dazzling than millions of suns. So the whole mood is you are the Lord, you are the Supreme, and I am insignificant. And they feel they're happy like that. My Lord is the greatest, I am most insignificant. But then as you turn the dial towards your right more and more, this Aishwarya goes down. And instead of that, there is something called Madhurya which goes up. Like in a very good sound control machine, you can up the bass or up the treble, depending upon what you need, you can hear some musical instruments or you can squelch some. Similarly, in Vrindavan, it's the same Vaikuntha and same spiritually pure, eternally liberated devotees. But when the Madhurya is at the maximum, they see the same Vishnu, but not as God. In fact, they claim, he, God? How is it possible? Nanda Maharaj is told that your son is God. He said, then why does he cry? Why does he cheat? Why is he so mischievous? Why I get so much tension, how to bring him up? If you say he is Narayan himself, Narayan doesn't give trouble to his parents. He says, come on, you know, you people are unnecessarily praising him too much. Okay, you praise him, but my job is to discipline him. Now, how can someone be in that illusion of disciplining God? But that comes when Maya acts in such a way so as to bring out those feelings. So therefore, we saw how there are various aspects of the word Maya. I will end with what I just read in a purport. Three specific problems which people face and which have to be eradicated. Otherwise, you won't be able to understand how Maya can be mercy, how Maya can be illusion, why Krishna puts some in Maya, why some are liberated from Maya. Krishna says that avajananti ma muda, foolish people deride me. How do they deride him? The first is, and these three are very popular in India, by the way. First is, they say, look at Ram and Krishna, very powerful people. Krishna says, I am not satisfied by this praise. If somebody says, I am a very powerful person, like these three could be interpreted as the litmus test to understand whether somebody is in Maya or not. Whether Krishna has Maya or not is a different thing, but whether this particular philosopher, this particular teacher, how much Maya is he in? This is the first test. Those who describe Krishna as very powerful person, sure shot, they are in Maya. Secondly, people say, how much karma and tapasya these people had to do that they became God? Isn't it? Krishna, Ram, they were all very people in the mode of goodness. They acted in such a nice way. And then later they were respected as God himself. Another sure shot way of understanding that this particular person is in darkest of Maya. Thirdly, those who have some understanding of philosophy, they have dabbled in some places somewhere, have heard smatterings of some Purana or some Bhagavat lecture somewhere, they say, well, he's not exactly, he's not exactly an illusion, he's not exactly a limited being, but God essentially in the ultimate sense is impersonal. Because, you know, if he's a person, then person has so many limitations. Some things he can do, some things he cannot do. You and me are persons. We have so many problems. So why do you say God is a person? But we say that, but well, the avatars are a fact. Ram and Krishna, they acted in such a way. That's because avatar is the impersonal absolute takes on the form made of goodness. Sattva gun. So anytime you hear someone saying these three things, that God is a very powerful person, he became powerful by doing some tapasya. Like Rabindranath Swarup Prabhu's classic article, Jesus meditated and he became compassion divine. Buddha meditated and he became forgiveness divine. Krishna meditated and he became love divine. So Rabindranath Swarup Prabhu added, this yoga mush and the jerk divine. Jerk is an American way of calling somebody a fool. You can't become God by meditating. In the very introduction to Krishna book, Prabhupada says, Krishna is not a God manufactured in the mystic yoga factory. Somebody may say, what does Krishna do to become God? Nothing. He didn't do anything to become God. If he had done something and achieved godhood, the fellow who gave him that would be the real God. Isn't it? So we have to be very intelligent. Nobody can create God. God is as natural gold. How do you make natural gold? It's a paradox. You don't make natural gold. Natural gold is natural gold. You get it. Similarly, Krishna, as a supreme personality of Godhead, is available in this age just by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharajan ki.